Unless they. So, Om Gana Timilandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. You can turn off the fan, it's a little just turn off the fans. So, yesterday we ended at the border of Radha Kund. Remember, we described that Giriraj is in the shape of a peacock. And the head of the peacock is Radha Kund and Shyamakund, the two eyes actually. And at the tail of the peacock, we have two other Kunds. Does anyone remember what the Kunds were? Apsara Kund and what? Nava Kund. Which are also considered like Radha Kund. Don't turn it on, it's too loud for me. Which are also considered like Radha Kund and Shyamakund of the tail. So now we're going to the Radha Kund section, but we're not going to do the Radha Kund Parikrama right now. That's a completely different show that we'll probably do tomorrow. But this is just the entrance to Radha Kund. And at this entrance to Radha Kund, you'll find a beautiful temple. It's in the Orison style. It's called the Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Temple. And there's a big deity there that's about, let's say, 2.5 meters high.
Great, 1 hour and a half.
We have 1.5 hours. How do we get that? Did they give you a bribe?
We will get 1 hour and a half in the evening at 5 o'clock.
So. Oh, did they give you a bribe or something like that? Anything can be accomplished with money.
Okay. Maharaj is leaving before I didn't know this.
Oh, okay, so that's good. No, that's all right. 1.5 hours is a nice present.
Yes.
And so tomorrow we start at
10:30.
What? 10:30 to 11:30.
Yes.
11:30,
yes, and 15 minutes more.
10:30, 11:30, and 15 minutes more,
yes,
as a bonus. Okay, it's a good organization. Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is called the Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Temple, and we're not going to go in the temple, but the deity is approximately 7 feet tall, which is like 2 meters, a little over 2 meters tall. The Pujari in the temple was a friend of mine. He passed away when he was 116 years old. And he was doing service for the deities the whole time. What was his secret for living long? He ate very little. If you want to live longer, you eat little. If you want to die sooner, you eat a lot. That's up to all of you. I can tell you how to live longer, I'll give you a diet, but none of you will follow. Okay. And as we enter the Radha Kund area, there's this very nice kund called the Malya Hari Kund. And at this kund, the famous pearl pastime took place. And this pearl pastime is told by Raghunath Das Goswami in the Mukta Charita. And the story is as follows. Once upon a time, Krishna had the desire to put pearls on his cows. So he went to the gopis and said, "Can we borrow some pearls from you?" And the gopis said, "That's ridiculous. Oh, you should not put pearls on cows." And so Krishna said, "All right, if you won't give me any, I'm going to grow my own pearls." And so Krishna went to Mother Yashoda and said, "Why don't you lend me some of your pearls?" And Mother Yashoda said, "Why?" And Krishna said, "So I'm going to plant them in the ground and grow pearl trees." And she said, "My dear Krishna, Pearls come from what?
Shells.
Clams, like clams. Yeah, whatever you call that in Serbian. Anyway, and there's oysters, actually. It's a type of clam. And it comes from the ocean. But Krishna is a very good arguer. He could be able to convince anyone of anything. So she finally gave her pearls. Krishna planted them in the ground, and he began to water these pearls with milk products, like yogurt and ghee, everything like that. And the gopis, they were laughing. They were thinking, this is stupid. You know, nothing's going to grow from pearls. So eventually these creepers came out of the pearls. And there were multicolored pearls coming from the creepers, like red, green, blue, yellow, all sorts of different colors. And Krishna took those pearls, and he decorated not only the cows and himself, but also, as you see, the monkeys. All the animals in Vrindavan have pearls. And the gopis, they were thinking, we're going to do better than Krishna. We're going to plant our pearls and our mother's pearls, and we're going to grow pearls too. So they planted their pearls in the ground. And the only thing that grew after they watered the pearls with milk products was thorn trees. And so Krishna and the cowboys, they were laughing at them. And they were very worried because they had taken all the pearls from their mother, too. So they were in great anxiety. So then they finally asked Krishna for pearls. And Krishna said, I'm not going to give you any pearls. Because you wouldn't give me your pearls. And so they kept begging and begging and begging. And they were going to offer gold and so many things for the pearls. But Krishna kept refusing. Finally, Krishna agreed, and he gave them each boxes of pearls with their name on it. Especially he gave that to Radharani. So this pastime took place in the Malyahari Kund area, which is right on the border of Radhakund. And also on the border of Radhakund, there is a famous kund called Shiva Kori. What happened here was that there was a jackal. I think you know what a jackal is. Jackal is like a wild dog. And this jackal was being tormented by little boys. They even set a fire to the cave in which the jackal was in. And so what happened is that Srimati Radharani and her associates came and they saved the jackal. The jackal left its body and took on a spiritual body and went back to Godhead. So anyone who dies in the Holy Dham, Govardhan, Vrajadham, goes back to home, back to Godhead. Of course, anyone who leaves their body thinking of Krishna also goes back to Godhead. So you don't have to all rush there and wait to die. If you're serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna, living in a holy place, such as one of Srila Prabhupada's temples, you can go back to Krishna. So this is leaving the Radhakund area. And right close to Radhakund, like up the road towards Vrindavan. If you go, you know where the bus, everyone knows where the bus stand is, the Radhakund bus stand? So you go up, I think it's about a kilometer up. Radharani's grandmother's house is there. And this place is called Mukurai. which is the name of Mukura, who is Radharani's grandmother. Okay. Then, leaving completely that Radhakund area, will proceed to Kushima Sarovara. You see, this is a map here. Kushima Sarovara, and there's a Uddhava temple. Wait, this is the path right here, you see here. And there's a Shokvan is where this famous temple of Banabihari is, where Krishna becomes the hairdresser of Radharani, which we'll see. And this is Narada Kund, where Narada Muni instructed Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, in Krishna consciousness. And then proceeding up, we're going to see all these places. I'm just giving you an overview. Proceeding up the path, you'll get a chance to see the Ratna Singhasana, the jewel throne of Radha and Krishna, Ratna Kund, Rasa Stali, and you'll see the place where Radharani was kidnapped by the Shankachuda demon. Okay, let's proceed. This, of course, is Kushima Sarovara, where many pastimes of Krishna and the gopis occurred. Some of the decorations here. One particular pastime, which perhaps is the most famous, was when the gopis were picking flowers. Don't worry, these are not gopis. Especially this is not a gopi. That's not what I'm showing. Not a coward boy either. It's an old sannyasi. So the gopis were picking flowers. And Krishna, to help Radharani pick flowers, was hiding in the tree and holding the branch down. So Radharani could reach the flowers. So then Krishna jumped from the tree, and Radharani flew up in the air, and Krishna said, "I'll catch you." And of course, Radharani was pretty upset with Krishna's trick, but eventually she allowed herself to be caught by Krishna. Here's another picture of that. This is an older picture. It's quite a nice picture. Nice to meditate on. How Krishna likes to put Radharani in anxiety to help with the pastimes. And all the residents of Vrindavan assist with Radha and Krishna pastimes. Like we're chanting every morning, Nikunja Yuno Radhikele Sidjai, that the spiritual master is making so many tasteful arrangements for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So every living entity is acting like that in Goloka Vrindavan. Even one may question, what service does a snake do in Goloka Vrindavan? The snake service is to make Radharani scared, so she'll grab Krishna. You understand? The snake comes out. Ah! Of course, that's not a good imitation, but anyway. It's the best I can do. And then she grabs Krishna, and Krishna's very happy. So in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, there are many of the indirect rasas being manifest. Such as ghastliness, fear, humor, and there's anger, sometimes mana. As we'll see later on in the next few days, there's even this place called Manak Sarovara, which is the kund where Radharani would go when she was really angry at Krishna. And Krishna would come crawling and touch her lotus feet to beg forgiveness. Next to Kushima Sarovara, there's a temple run by some ISKCON devotees. like the devotee's name is Pulindri. If you happen to ever go there, please stop by this temple. This is the temple of Radha Vanavihari, where Radharani is having her hair combed by Krishna. And you see here, this is Krishna. You can tell because Krishna plays a flute. And that's Radharani Shila. And Radharani, you can't see exactly, but she's holding a mirror. And holding the mirror, she's not actually looking at her hair. And normally when you ladies go to a hairdresser, you look at your hair. You don't look at the hairdresser. Right? I don't know. I mean, I would assume you go. You're not interested in the hairdresser. You're interested in the hair, right? But Radharani is interested in the hairdresser who happens to be Krishna. So she's just looking at Krishna with love. Usually we celebrate Govardhan Puja at this temple. So we have very nice kirtans, classes, and prasad distribution at the Radha Vanavihari temple. This is an idea of what Govardhan Puja looks like at the temple. All the different preparations. And eventually this temple is going to be given to ISKCON. It's been in the hands of a family, a Braj family, for many, many years. But the devotee who is taking care of Pulindri, who is taking care of this family, the older lady in the family, she's called Ma, basically she'll probably get possession of the temple when family passes away. So here's that Krishna as the hairdresser for Srimati Radharani. And next is another temple run by an ISKCON devotee. Like I mentioned yesterday, Uddhava is residing in the grass in that area, in the creepers in this area. Because this Uddhava temple is directly opposite the Uddhava Kund temple, which I showed you yesterday. And here is the devotee who, he's from Canada. Jamuna Jivana, yes, that's his name. And he runs the temple. He's been there for many years. He lives at the temple and he's alone. Very austere devotee. In the summer, in the winter. And then as we go back on the path to the left, there's Narada Kund. Narada Muni resides there. And Narada Muni is generally not allowed to stay in one place because he has been cursed by Daksha. Because he encouraged Daksha's sons to take sannyas. Daksha first had 10,000 sons. That's a lot of sons. Imagine if they all had to get iPads and video games. He had a pretty big house for them. Anyway. So then Narada Muni preached to them as they were executing austerities. And he said to them, you know who your real father is, basically? It's Krishna. So don't pay attention to this material father. And so the sons took sannyas. And then Narada Muni did the same thing with another group of sons, just only 1,000 this time. And then Daksha decided after that point only to have daughters. Because Narada Muni didn't want a bunch of sannyasinis running around. Or as they say nowadays, Brahma Kumaris. You heard of the Brahma Kumaris? Yeah. Prabhupada is not bona fide. So anyway, so Narada Muni got cursed by Daksha that he couldn't remain in one place for very long. So how was Narada Muni able to reside here in Narada Kund? Because Narada Kund is not part of the material world. This is the deity of Narada Muni and Narada Kund. So one time Narada Muni wanted to see the rasa dance of Krishna. So he went to Krishna's rasa dance, but the rasa dance was being guarded by Lord Shiva, Gopishvara Mahadev. And Lord Shiva said, "You're not allowed to come in here. We only allow ladies here." So Narada Muni took a bath in the corner of Kushama Sarovara, and then he became Naradi, a female gopi. Of course, gopis are always female. But female Narada Muni. So he went into the rasa dance. But Krishna saw him. And Krishna said, "Hey, Narada Muni, what are you doing here?" Because Krishna can tell, you know, who's sneaking in. And Krishna said, "Instead of hanging around the rasa dance, you should be writing some books, the Narada Pancharatra and the Narada Bhakti Sutra." So Narada Muni wrote these books right at Narada Kund. In addition, he took care of Pallad Maharaj, actually Kayadu, when Pallad Maharaj was in the womb of Kayadu. Okay. Then next we go to the interior portion of Govardhan. Govardhan is right below the ground at this point, just starting to come out. So this is called the Ratnakund Shankutir area. Ratnakund means the jeweled throne of Radha and Krishna. And as I said, Giriraj is just coming out of the ground at this particular point. It's very, very beautiful to see Giriraj. You can go right up to Giriraj. And what happened here is that this demon named Shankha Chuda kidnapped Radharani. Of course, he couldn't kidnap Radharani. He kidnapped an expansion of Radharani. Just like Ravana could not kidnap Sita Devi. He kidnapped Maya Sita. Because had Shankha Chuda actually touched Radharani, he would have died like that. So, did you finish translating that, or he would have died? Had Shankha Chuda touched him, he would have died. So, Shankha Chuda was an associate of Kuvera. And he had gotten this jewel from Kuvera that he wore on his head in the shape of a conch shell. So when Krishna killed Shankha Chuda, he took the jewel, gave it to Balaram. And Balaram eventually gave it to Srimati Radharani. And that jewel later on became the Shaimantaka jewel. But that's a whole other story we don't have time for right now. And there is a footprint. Some people say it's a footprint of Balaram. Other people say it's a footprint of Krishna. This is the place of the jewel throne of Radha and Krishna. And there's a beautiful painting on the rock right there of Radha and Krishna embracing each other. And, of course, many, many dances, rasa dances were held here. There's Radharani on her jeweled throne. And many intimate pastimes occurred in this Shamkutir Ratnasinghasana area. Nearby, the Gwalpur, where the coward boys would take their lunch. There's one of the coward boys. His name is Mayapur Chandra. And also another thing happened here was that Madhubangal had performed Surya Puja at Surya Kund. And as a reward, he had got many, many ladus. And when he got many ladus, Balaram came to him and said, "What do you have in that bag? Let me see." So Balaram forcibly opened the bag and distributed all the ladus to the other coward boys. And then Madhumanga got very angry, pulled out his Brahmin thread, was getting ready to curse all the coward boys. And Krishna just said, "No, no, don't do that. I'll give you some more ladus." So Madhumanga was famous for liking ladus. And he was a little heavy as a result. In other words, heavy means a little fat. So there's this very interesting story. One time, the coward boys, they were stealing some butter from one of the gopis' houses. And they were discovered, and they all went out through the window. And going out through the window, everyone was able to fit except for Madhumanga. Because the only part of his body that couldn't fit out the window was the rear end of his body. So the gopis, they actually hit the rear end with a stick. And so Krishna came to the gopis later on and said, "You have made a great offense against the Brahmin." And because of that, you must go and ask for forgiveness. So they went to Madhumanga and asked for forgiveness, and Madhumanga said, "The only way I'll forgive you is if you give me millions of ladus." So they kept feeding Madhumanga ladus. And by the time they got to about the 1,000, he was so intoxicated with the ladus that he kept blessing them. And he blessed them to be able to marry Krishna. Does anyone know who Madhumanga's father was? Who? Huh? Did I hear? Who knows who Madhumanga's father was? Sandapani Muni. And who was his grandmother? Purnamashi. It's nice, isn't it? So he was also there with Krishna when Krishna went to Gurukula. Where did Krishna go to Gurukul? We have a temple there now. You got 10 seconds to answer. And you go back to Godhead, get a blessing to go back to Godhead. You got it. Ujjain. He's going back to Godhead. So, Haribo. Okay, it should be one person is going back to Godhead. The rest of us will stay. No, no? We'll talk about it. We have a price. So here I am offering obeisances at Giriraj and with some of the devotees. And as we're right now, we're getting to the entrance of the city of Govardhan again, and there's this kund called Yugala Kund, where Nanda Maharaj stayed on the way to Nandagram from Gokula. So let's give a little history. So yesterday we asked the question where Krishna was born. So where was Radharani? Where did Radharani appear? Rava. Sometimes if you go to Braj, you may have an argument with people. People say Barshana, right? You ever have that argument? I had. But Radharani appeared in Raval, and Krishna appeared in Gokul. And they were very close to each other. Then, where did they move? No, first Vrindavan. That's where the city of Vrindavan is. And then Barshana and Nandagram. So there were two moves. And it's interesting. I mean, one thing that's interesting. Don't tell anyone this. So that basically by the time they moved to Barshana, Radharani was spending most of her time at Yavat. You understand? Yavat was the place of Abhimanyu and Jatila and Kutila. Jatila and Kutila were very attractive young girls. Anyway. No, Jatila was a little older. Kutila was Radharani's sister-in-law. And Krishna used to make fun of them, at least as far as how they looked. And there's some descriptions of that in the Nectar of Devotion. And right at the border of the city of Govardhan, you run into this Panchatirtha Kund, which contains the five holy rivers, Narmada, Gomati, Sarayu, Kanchi, and Vetri. And generally, ISKCON devotees can't go in there because it's controlled by people who worship the Shaktis of the Lord. They're like some sort of yogis. So we sneak in there sometimes when we get in trouble. And I think this is the last one. This is Suryakund. This is where Radharani and the gopis would go to worship Suryadev. Suryadev, you'll see his picture here. That's the Surya Deity at Suryakund. Anyone's been there? No one's been to Surya. You've been to Suryakund. Some of you have been to Suryakund. So what happens at Suryakund is when they go to worship the deity there, Krishna and Madhu Mangal make believe that they're two brahmanas. And they perform the worship. And they chant, it's described by the Goswamis, Madhu Mangal chants mantras that no one has ever heard before. He just makes up the mantras as he's doing the puja. And Jatila is saying, I've never heard that mantra before. And he says, you ignorant old lady, you don't know anything. And then for the reward, the brahminical reward, he asks for ladus. And Krishna, of course, asked to embrace Radharani. So that happens in Suryakund. And then as we do at Govardhan Parikrama, we have classes there at Govardhan. Whoops. Hey, what? Maharaj, wow. Oh, there's a Govardhan Vasi. Wow. He knows more about Govardhan than I did. One time I discovered his secret hideout at Govardhan. But I won't tell you where it is. Okay, I'll keep it secret. I bribed some of his associates with ladus. Anyway, so let's go. Let's do the Radhakund for him now. So now we'll do Radhakund. This probably will take at least an hour and a half to do the Radhakund and Parikrama. You ready? Everybody ready? Radhakund? What? 40 minutes. 43, okay. How long is that going to take to load? A slow computer. What? It stopped. Why don't you try loading it again?
It's loading.
Okay, got it. Okay. We try to cover all the places of Radhakund and Shyamakund, so this is a very elaborate parikrama. And of course, Radhakund and Shyamakund are considered at the tail, they're like, the head of the peacock, and they're the two eyes of the peacock. Of course, Govardhan Hill at this point is underground. Shortly, let's say, after you leave the city of Govardhan, Govardhan starts to go underground. And so many intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna occurred at Radhakund and Shyamakund. Pictures is there, many elaborate descriptions of waterfalls, of crystal bridges, of lotus flowers, And also Radhakund and Shamakund, there's the kuns of the sakas and the sakis, that is the coward boys and the gopis, the principal gopis. So I want to read something from Srila Prabhupada's Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. So it's very important to get in the right mood before we enter. What's that? No, don't worry about the sound. I don't use the sound on this one. The holy place, known as Mathura, is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan because of Krishna's rasa, lila, pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Radhakund, Sri Radhakund, stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So this is a very interesting hierarchy we did. Everybody knows what a hierarchy is? That it's an order in terms of important, more important, much more important, most important, supreme importance. Wow. This is the text 9 of Nectar of Instruction. So you have Vaikuntha, where the Lord is worshipped in awe and reverence. And Mathura, there's a little more closeness there. Vrindavan, great intimacy. Govardhan Hill, even more intimacy. And Radhakund, the supreme transcendental place. And the description of these various realms is mentioned here in this chart. So, but the interesting thing is, Vaikuntha literally is a negative definition. Do you know that? It means without anxiety. So, of course, it's Paravyoma is a positive definition. Paravyoma means the spiritual world. And there, all the residents appear with how many arms? Four arms. But sometimes they exhibit other forms too to please the Lord. So that's called Sarupya Mukti. That means having a similar form to that of the Lord. So then we go to Mathura, actually. And Krishna appeared there, but remember what we said about Krishna's appearance yesterday? Where did Krishna really appear? In Vrindavan. And it was which Krishna who appeared in Mathura? Vasudev Krishna. And his father's name in Mathura was what? Vasudev. It was Vasudev, Vasudev. Remember we did that? The pronunciation. So, Krishna actually appeared in Vrindavan, but we know that. We'll keep that secret. Don't tell anybody. You might get upset. And then we go to Vrindavan, where we have 12 main forests, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna tends the cows, etc. Then we go to Govardhan Hill, which Krishna lifted, tends his cows there, had as many rendezvous with Radharani. Also, the six Goswamis excavated the holy places in Vrindavan, Mathura, Govardhan, and Radhakund. And then finally, Radhakund, which is at the foot of Govardhan Hill, and advanced souls live there. And Govardhan was rediscovered by Lord Chaitanya. It's described when Krishna left the planet. I mean, not Govardhan. When Krishna left the planet, Radhakund and Shyamakund more or less disappeared. So Lord Chaitanya was in this village called Arishta Gram, named after the Rishtasura demon. And he was asking for Radha Kunda Shyama Kunda. And they said they're just these two puddles in the paddy fields, you know, the rice fields. One was named Gauri Kunda, what was the other one? Kalki Kunda, I think. And Lord Chaitanya recognized them immediately as Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda, and he jumped into them. And all the villagers were wondering, why is he bathing in these paddy fields? So Lord Chaitanya rediscovered Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda. And at Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda, as described here, love of Krishna overflows, and of course, love of Radharani overflows there. And most of the other Vaishnava Sampradayas, or most of the followers in the other Sampradayas, don't recognize Radha Kunda unless they have some connection or understanding, or they've been exposed to the Gaudiya understanding. What? Most of the most of the followers in the other sampradayas don't really recognize Radha Kunda unless they have some exposure to our teachings. So here's another statement. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kunda lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis, who then will not reside at Radha Kunda, and in a spiritual body, surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, a prakrita bhava, that means spiritual emotions that are not part of this world, render loving service to the divine couple, Shri Radha Govinda, who perform their Ashta Kaliya Leela, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radha Kunda are the most fortunate people in the universe. Of the many objects of favored delight, and of all the lovable damsels of Brajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine Kunda is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radha Kunda is rarely obtained, even by great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within these holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. So, I'm not going to get into this chart. It's a little more complex. So, this is a shot of Giriraj from the air. And, of course, that's the city of Govardhan. This is the tail of Govardhan. And Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda are up there. Let me get a little closer. Here's another aerial shot. And this is Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda. And we'll explain later why Shyama Kunda has an unusual shape to it. We'll be showing beautiful pictures of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So we start by entering from Vrindavan and turn onto the Radha Kunda road, and then we go backwards on the Govinda Govardhan Parikrama path. There's a reason for that, because each and every abode in Braj is guarded by the Dikpala, that is, by Lord Shiva, a particular manifestation of Lord Shiva. So in Radha Kunda, it's Kundesha Mahadev. Actually, there's seven Lord Shivas in Radha Kunda, but the primary one is Kundeshara. But before we get to that temple, there's the Radha Gokulananda temple, which was... It's a replica of the Radha Gokulananda temple in Vrindavan that was started by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. into the deities Radha Gokulananda. Of course, these are sweets. Be careful. So Kundeshwar Mahadev is the presiding Dikpala or protector of Radha Kund. So we take permission from him before we start our Radha Kund Parikrama. He's right on the path, right next to Radha Kund, right next to the marketplace. He's decorated in different ways. Different shots of Kundeshwar Mahadev. Kundeshwar Mahadev Ki Jai. See, and that's so. All right, then we see Radha Kund for the first time by the marketplace, and of course we offer our dandavats to Radha Kund. And of course, I think most of you know the story that once upon a time, one of Kamsa's friends was named Arishta, and of course he was Arishtasura. He appeared in the form of a bull with a giant hump. And as he walked on the earth, the whole earth trembled. So, Krishna, of course, killed him. And there's no problem, Krishna kills demons. Vrichanaya sadanam vinashaya chadushkutam. Of course, when Krishna does the killing business, he does it as Vasudev Krishna. So after Krishna killed this bull demon, he said to the gopis later on that day, let's have dance, let's have some sort of relationship. And the gopis said, no, you've killed a bull. A bull is a male cow. And this is very sinful. They said the only way you're going to be freed from this great offense is by bathing in all the holy places. So Krishna put his heel on the ground and he called for all the holy places. They came and they filled his kund and he went bathing. And Krishna said to the gopis, you can also bathe in my kund if you like. And the gopis said that your kund is contaminated because you bathed in it. And you were guilty for killing a bull. So we'll make our own kund. So they proceeded to dig out the hole. And then Krishna said they were using their jewelry and everything to dig the hole in the ground. And Krishna said, how are you going to find water to fill this kund? And they said, no problem, we'll take the water from the Manasa Ganga. And they tried, they weren't able to fill. And then finally Krishna called for all the holy places, the personification of the holy places, and the holy places begged the gopis, or begged Srimati Radharani, that they could fill her kund. And they filled her kund by overflowing from Shan Kund, who was Krishna's kund. And Krishna said, from this day forward, I will bathe in your kund every day, Srimati Radharani. And Radharani said, from this day forward, I will bathe in your kund. So it's very interesting. I mean, just a little bit of a political statement or a philosophical statement, that sometimes people pay more attention to Radha Kund than to Sham Kund. But guess which kund the gopis bathe in? Sham Kund. And we'll tell a very interesting story as we go through this parikrama about a tree that resides on the banks of Sham Kund, a talking tree, talking pilu tree. But you have to be perfectly Krishna conscious to talk to it. And this pilu tree witnessed Radha and Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago. And this pilu tree had actually talked to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Anyway, we'll get to that in a few minutes. Here's a picture of Radha Kund. And when devotees taking a little snan, a little water on their heads from the There's a way to approach Radha Kund. Like when the devotees from ISKCON first went to Radha Kund, they treated it more or less like a big swimming pool. And then they started to have water fights in it. You know, water fights, chicken fights, I don't know what you call it. And Prabhupada got very disturbed. He said it's like kicking Radharani. Because in one sense, the Radhakund is Srimati Radharani. It is a liquid like this. And is dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani is. So when the devotees go to Radha Kund, at least when I go to Radha Kund, and I take some bath in it, I'm very respectful. I offer obeisances and I beg for forgiveness. Why do I beg for forgiveness? Because when you take snan, full snan, the feet go in. And in Vedic culture, the feet are considered impure. We in the West don't think like that. You know, we stick our feet on anything. Prabhupada would even get upset when people would move furniture with their feet. What to speak of touch a holy place with their feet. So we beg for forgiveness and go in the right attitude. Prabhupada said, if you don't have the right attitude when you go to Radha Kund, then it will become like Naraka Kund for you. In other words, you'll go to hell. And I've seen devotees, sometimes they try to reside there without the proper consciousness. And ultimately, many of them give up their Krishna consciousness. I had one friend who is from Finland, not a disciple, but a friend. And he was very expert in Sanskrit. So he thought he knew more than Prabhupada, so he went to reside in Radha Kund. This happens. There are some residents of Radha Kund who try to lure ISKCON devotees away. They say that the reason you have not realized that you're a gopi is that you haven't accepted a gopi guru, you know, a rasika guru, what they say. And, you know, come to Radha Kund and reside with me. So we saw that especially with the Sanskrit school that used to be there at Radha Kund. You know, the Gopi Pradhanas Sanskrit school. Many students were lost. They would go there, and there were some expert Sanskrit people there, and they would lure the devotees away. So what I saw with my friend, he was very expert in Sanskrit. He thought he knew more than Prabhupada, and then he heard some offenses there where they criticized even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he thought, oh, I am so intelligent. And then he started to study under the Babaji's. And then he thought, oh, I'm more intelligent than the Babaji here. And I know more than him. So false pride is like that. It grows. It just doesn't stay stable. So then he thought, oh, I'm such a great devotee. Then eventually he became a Buddhist. And then after being a Buddhist, he just became an ordinary karmi. Eats meat now. So that's from offenses at Radha Kund. It's like you get more benefit from performing devotional service in Vrindavan and Radha Kund. There's more reaction there, so one has to be very careful. It's like Prabhupada said, the sun can purify, and the sun could also burn. He said that in reference to the guru and also the deities, but I'm saying that in reference to the holy places like Radha Kund. So one has to be very careful. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised one of his intimate associates, Jagadananda Pandit, who sometimes had a tendency to look for little mistakes or faults. He said, just stay there for a short time. because you will not understand the residents of Vrindavan. They're on a different platform. And there's even one, it's a funny story that Jagannanda Pandit was with Sanatana Goswami one time in Vrindavan. And Sanatana Goswami had gotten a red cloth from a Mayavadi sannyasi named Mukunda Saraswati. And he was wearing this red cloth on his head. And Jagannanda Pandit asked him, "Where have you got the red cloth?" He thought it was from Lord Chaitanya. And Sanatana Goswami said, "Oh, Mukunda Saraswati gave it to me." And Jagannanda Pandit took his pots and pans, you know, like ladies take rolling pins sometimes against their husbands. So took the pots and pans and got ready to hit Sanatana Goswami. And of course, Sanatana Goswami, he said, "Oh, I just did this because I wanted to see your love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So even some of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intimate servants and associates were advised not to spend more than a week or two in Vrindavan. So we have to be very cautious. A beautiful picture of Radha and Krishna. And sometimes during the rainy season, the Sangam is immersed, it goes underwater, and Radha Kund and Shyama Kund flow together. Different shots of Radha Kund. Okay. So then, as we leave the marketplace, at the edge of the marketplace, there's a replica of the swing where Radha and Krishna would swing. Of course, this is not the original swing, it's a concrete swing, concrete arch. But there's an interesting pastime that occurred here. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were sitting together near this spot. And Sanatana Goswami was like the Siksha Guru of Rupa Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami said to Rupa Goswami, "I'd like to hear some nice verse that you've composed." So Rupa Goswami recited a verse in which Radharani's hair, the back of the hair, the, I guess you call it, whatever it is, the fall, whatever it is in the back of the hair, was compared to like a serpent. You know how the ladies, they tie their hair, not like a seagull, but they tie their hair back, I don't know. Yeah. Like serpent hair. So, you understand? They braid. What? What do they call it? Platenisa. So they braid their hair. So her hair went all the way down to the back of the neck. The back of the back, I'm sorry. To the waist. And so Rupa Goswami was comparing it to a snake. And Sanatana Goswami said, "No, this is not a good metaphor." And Rupa Goswami said, "All right, think of a better metaphor then." So Sanatana Goswami couldn't think. He said, "I'll come back later." So Sanatana Goswami was right close to where the swing is. And he saw a beautiful swing there, and there were young girls on the swing. And on one of the young girls' back, he thought he saw a serpent or a snake crawling up her hair. And he started to run. He said, "Lali," that's, you know, a young girl, "there's a snake crawling on your back." And the young girls just laughed at him and disappeared. And then he could understand the metaphor that Rupa Goswami was using was an appropriate metaphor. And so he went back to Rupa Goswami and said, "Yes, you were right. You can use that metaphor." So here's the swing of Radha and Krishna. This, of course, is the way Radha Kund looked 5,000 years ago. Actually, more beautiful than that. see. I collected many swing pictures to show. This is actually my favorite. So when Raghunath Das Goswami was excavating Radhakund, let's tell the story of the excavation. So Raghunath Das Goswami had some idea that he should excavate the holy dam, or excavate Radhakund. But then he thought, well, maybe it's not appropriate. Too many people will come here. Maybe I shouldn't do it. So he was having, let's say, some doubt whether he should do it or not. So then, the next day, this very rich gentleman came. This gentleman had been in Vadarik Ashram. And Krishna had actually spoken to him and told him to go see Raghunath Das Goswami at Radhakund and pay for the excavation of the kunds. So he came to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, Krishna told me, Krishna sent me here. So Raghunath Das Goswami understood that it was Krishna's plan to have Radhakund and Shyamakund excavated. What time do we have till?
15 more minutes.
Okay, I wanted to show the film. But let's go a little further. So then Raghunath Das Goswami excavated or supervised the excavation of the kund. And as he was supervising the excavation, they dug up these deities. These are the original deities of the kund. What's the name of the deities again? I forget. Anyway, there's a name, and I forget right now the deities, but these are the deities that he excavated. And walking backwards a little bit on the parikrama path, we come to the temple that was started by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is called the Radhakunja Bihari Temple. And these are the deities of Radhakunja Bihari. And at this temple, they treat ISKCON devotees very, very nicely and very respectful. There's a nice sannyasi who stays in this temple. And we're telling some of the pastimes here, Radha and Krishna, to the devotees. And we already told the pearl pastime story. That's Malyahari Kund. This is where Krishna asked the gopis for pearls for his cows. And there we are telling the story. And here's another picture of the pearl pastimes. So as I mentioned before, even the cows, the monkeys, all the animals in Vrindavan had these beautiful pearls that Krishna had grown in his pearl garden. And ultimately, Krishna gave the gopis their own pearls in an engraved box with their names on it. Then we take permission from Rameshra Mahadev, who is considered the western protector of the Radhakund area. And then we enter the Parikrama path and go to the temple of Radhakanta, which is Vrikeshwara Pandit's temple. Vrikeshwara Pandit was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known for his dancing. He could dance in kirtan for 72 hours without stop. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are like one of my wings. And if I had two devotees like you, I could fly in the air." So he established this temple, Radhakund Temple and Radhakund. Some of the pictures on the wall of the temple, and here are the deities. And that's Murti of Rakeshwar Pandit. And in the deities, there's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lalita Devi, and Radha, Radhakanta. Of course, that's Lord Chaitanya, Lalita, and Radha, Radhakanta. Okay, I think right now I wanted to show this helicopter ride. So why don't we go over there? We want to end. We're going to continue tomorrow with the rest of the Radhakund Parikrama. But I wanted to show you our helicopter ride. Not that one. Yeah, that one. The GoPro one. GoPro. Yeah, that one. Will it play? This is a helicopter ride over Govardhan. There I am. Govardhan, helicopter. Mayapur is operating it. He's not in it. It's a little helicopter. We have plans to do all of Braj from the air. Yeah, well, actually, yesterday I was talking to Jai Pataka Maharaj about this, and he said, all right, now you also have to do Navadvip Mandal from the air, too. So, of course, he also blessed me with 108 years of life, so I'll have time for all this. it's not just a toy. Go to the middle. It's kind of long. Go to the middle. Yeah, that's good. So we had that of course, Govindakund from the air. It's called a drone. Anyone's heard of a drone before? It's what the U.S. Army uses in Afghanistan.
I think it's called a quadcopter.
It's called it's a drone. A drone or a UAV.
Is there a human being inside?
Yeah. No, we have a little mouse. No, there's no human being inside. It's a radio-controlled helicopter. And we're able to take shots of different places at Govardhan and Braj with it. And within the next few years, we're going to complete all of Braj. Yeah, go ahead a little bit. This, of course, is Govindakund from the air. You see, the birds are lower than the copter. Go further, further, further. And then we're going to go over Govardhan Hill to the next side, to the other side. All right, let it roll now. This is this part. And so you see the temple of Madhavendra Puri, Govindaraj temple, is there in the distance. And now we're getting a view that very few devotees get of Govardhan Hill. And then you see the other side, the Jatipur is right there. And then the field, of course, this is the cricket field right before Jatipur.
Many monkeys filled.
What?
Filled with many monkeys.
Filled with many monkeys, yeah. So you're getting a shot of the other side of Govardhan. It's a very unusual shot from the top. Because generally, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we do not climb Govardhan for any reason. Go a little further. It's about a 20-minute film. All right, further, further. Okay, just let it roll. And of course, this was very entertaining for the residents of Govardhan. And children really love this. So I was thinking how Krishna could practically engage anything in his service, because I have this one disciple who has played video games from the time he was born, practically. He was born with a joystick in his hand. you know, a video game controller in his hand. And I was thinking, how is this Krishna conscious? But then I understood that Krishna was preparing him to control a helicopter. Because I tried to control it and I crashed. Because I've never played video games. See the children enjoying very much. Okay. A few more seconds of the video, and then we'll show. They have one other video after this. What's that? A note from our sponsor. You have to end. Get out of here. No, I think we'll just go. That's right. It's the hook. Okay. One more video I wanted to show that's about Radha Kund. This is a video about the cleaning of Radha Kund. When they drain Radha Kund, to clean it, you can go ahead. The video is quite long, so you can go ahead a little bit on the video. A little bit more. A little bit more. I want to show the devotees in ecstasy. Putting. That's good. So they form what's called a brigade line. Brigade line means like passing a bucket. A bucket brigade is called. So every few years they clean. You see, there's many Western devotees participating in this. And the mud from Radha Kund is sacred.
Does it go for export?
What?
Does it go for export?
Export? What? The mud?
This mud,
right? Yeah, yeah. They sell it. You can buy it as tilak. Go a little further on this. Yeah, that's nice. What's the name of the kund in the middle? I forget. Kancha kund. Kancha kund. Kancha kund. What's that? Oh, it has a spring. It's spring fed. You want a spring from the ground? That's how it fills up. They had to continue while they were draining. While they were draining Radha Kund, they had to continually keep pumping it out because the spring keeps filling it up. See how much fun they're having? Transcendental emotions. Bhavas.
40 seconds more.
Yeah, it's great. Vyabhachari bhava. Like uncontrollable, intermittent, ecstatic emotions. Thank you. Okay. That's it. You can turn it off. All right. Thank you very much. Tomorrow we'll continue at 10:30 in the morning. 10:30.
We're going to start.
I'm going to change my schedule. 10:30 to 11:30 only tomorrow. All right. Thank you very much. All glorious Ishila Balpad, Radhakun Kijai, Shamakun Kijai, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol.
All glorious Ishila Balpad, Radhakun Kijai, Shamakun Kijai, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Gaur Premananda, Hari Hari Bol.